So we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 12, Killing of the Demon Aghasura, text number 34. Tato ti rishta swakrito kritarhanam pushpai suga ap sarasash tanartanai Kitai sura vadya darascha vadya kai stavaischa vipra jaya nishvanai guna tata. Thereafter, adirishta, everyone became very much pleased. Swa Krita, own respective duty. Akrita, executed. Arhanam, in the shape of worshiping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Pushpai, by showering flowers grown in Nanda Kandana. From the heavens. Suga, the celestial singers. Apsara, Apsarasa, Cha, and the celestial dancing girls. Not Nartanai, by dancing. Gitai, by singing celestial songs. Sura, all the demigods. Vadya Dara, Cha, those who played on musical drums. Vadya Kai, by playing respectively. Stavai, Cha, and by offering prayers. Vipra, the Brahmanas. Jaya Nishvanai, simply by glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Gana, everyone. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Thereafter, everyone being pleased, the demigods began to shower flowers from the Nanda Kanana, Nandana Kanana. The celestial dancing girls began to dance. And the Gandharvas, who were famous for singing, offered songs of prayer. The drummers began to beat their kettle drums, and the Brahmanas offered Vedic hymns. In this way, both in the heavens and on earth, everyone began to perform his own duties, glorifying the Lord. Please repeat. Thereafter,
Everyone being pleased,
the demigods began to shower flowers. From Nandana Kanana, the celestial dancing girls began to dance. And then Gandharvas, who are famous for singing, offered songs of prayer. The drummers began to beat their kettle drums. And the Brahmanas offered Vedic hymns. In this way, both in the heavens and on earth, everyone began to perform his own duties, glorifying the Lord. Purport, everyone has some particular duty. The Shastra has concluded, Nirupita, that everyone should glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead by his own qualifications. If you are a singer, always glorify the Supreme Lord by singing very nicely. If you are a musician, glorify the Supreme Lord by playing musical instruments. Swanushtitasya dharmasya sam siddhir hari toshanam. Bhagavatam 1.2.13. The perfection of life is to satisfy the personality of Godhead. Therefore, beginning from this earth up to the celestial kingdom, everyone engage in glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The decision of all great saintly persons is that whatever qualifications one has acquired should be utilized to glorify the Supreme Lord. Idam hi putsas tapasa shutasya va shvistasya suktasya chaburi datayo avichyuto orta kavibir nirupito yat uttama shloka gunanuvardhanam. Learned sages have definitely concluded that the infallible purpose of the advancement of knowledge, austerity, Vedic study, sacrifice, the chanting of hymns and charity is found in the transcendental descriptions of the qualities of the Lord, who is defined in choice poetry. The Bhagavatam 1.5.22. This is the perfection of life. One should be trained how to glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead by one's respective qualities, education, austerity, penance, or in the modern world, business, industry, and education, and so on. All should be engaged in glorifying the Lord. Then everyone in the world will be happy. Krishna comes, therefore, to exhibit his transcendental activities so that people have the chance to glorify him in every respect. To understand how to glorify the Lord is actual research work. It is not that everything should be understood without God. This is condemned. Bhagavad Bhakti Hinasya Jati Shastram Japas Tapa Apranasyaiva Dehasya Mandanam Lokaranjanam. Without Bhagavad Bhakti, without glorification of the Supreme Lord, whatever we have is simply a decoration of the dead body. Tato ti rishta swakrito ritarhanam pushpai suga apas apasarash apasaras shascha naratanai kitai sura vadya darascha vadyakai stavaischa vipra jayanish binairagana. Thereafter, everyone being pleased, the demigods began to shower flowers from the Nandana Kanana. The celestial dancing girls began to dance. And the Gandharvas, who were famous for singing, offered prayers, songs of prayer. The Brahmanas began to beat their kettle drums, and the Brahmanas offered Vedic hymns. In this way, both in the heavens and on earth, everyone began to perform his own duties, glorifying the Lord. Namo Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutai Srimate Bhakti Bhiranta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Pracharne Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskyadyade Sitarne. So Prabhupada mentions here that we should learn how to glorify Krishna. It is not that anyone can glorify Krishna and that glorification will have the same effect as someone who is trained up how to glorify Krishna. Therefore, it is said here that etam shushushara brahmams Tapa Traya Chakirshitam. Yet each for a Bhagavati Karma Brahmani Bhavitam. O Brahman of Vyasadeva, it is decided by the learned that the best remedial measure for removing all troubles and miseries is to dedicate one's activities to the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. So our main problem is we're in the material concept of life. And we're misidentifying ourselves with our gross and subtle material bodies, and therefore we're performing activities meant to pacify, satisfy, and gratify the different types of urges that arise from the three modes of material nature. And indeed, we think it is not only important, we think it's absolutely necessary to do these things. We can't imagine an existence where we're not doing those things. But while we're engaged in such activities, it's recommended that we, at the same time, learn how to glorify Krishna. Therefore, according to the modes of nature that we're under, therefore, there is different types of ways of engaging that very activity in serving Krishna. It is said that actions speak louder than words, because as we're not the words, in one sense, as we're not our mental ideas about reality, nor are we our emotions, nor are we the gross physical body. But even the gross physical body, as everything else, can be utilized in the service of Krishna. And how do we know if we're using this gross physical body in the service of Krishna? Well, we just have to see if this body is doing something to serve Krishna under the guidance of Krishna's representatives. We can watch our body during the day and see what it's doing. The body is simply a manifestation or a consequence. What the body does is a consequence of what our mind and intelligence are thinking about. Therefore, if we're under the mode of goodness, Prabhupada said, that we can try to prove Krishna's existence. Don't try to defeat Krishna, try to claim that we're Krishna, but instead utilize one's energy to prove how Krishna is actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is essentially what the movement's meant for, is to prove to people that Krishna is God. Because it may not seem to us, or especially to other people, is a very important thing that Krishna is God. But the implications of being God are quite amazing, considering that to be God, you have to be in every atom, and there's a lot of atoms you have to be in. Just that alone is enough, should be sufficient to make us feel a little awe and reverence towards Krishna. Of course, the materialistic mind immediately rejects that conception as somewhat of an exaggeration. How could anyone be in every atom and not be confused by so many contradictory circumstances? Therefore, Krishna is certainly beyond our conception and even beyond our imagination. And therefore, the tendency, especially the materialist, is simply to reject him. It makes life easier for them. They don't have to worry about all the implications of having to deal with someone who's so conscious, he's conscious of everything. Just like nowadays, especially in the United States, people are concerned about their privacy. That they're worried about their emails and their all electronic data, their telephone calls, the text messages are all being read by some agency meant to spy on everyone. Well, that may be true, and it may not be proper for people to interfere with our privacy, but actually we have no privacy because ultimately the Supreme Personality of Godhead is watching everything that we're doing. He's the ultimate spy agency. And you can't turn off the teletube so he can't see you anymore. He's right there with you. He sees before we see. And he not only sees before we see, and he knows exactly what we're doing even before we do it, what we're going to do, and he knows exactly what we're doing, but since time immemorial, he has it all recorded. And his computer never crashes. There's no way around it. Therefore, to accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead automatically implies that we have to except that we have to follow his instructions, or else, if there's a plus and minus column, if we follow his instructions, we're put into the plus column, and if we don't, we're into the minus column. And too many minuses is not a very good thing in this material world. It's rather unpleasant. You strike out in the human form of life, but you don't get up to bat in the human form of life for a long time. You're in the minor leagues for billions of years. Therefore, if one wants to accept Krishna, if one is in the mode of goodness, it is dangerous to try to take Krishna's position by little accumulation of so-called knowledge. Actually, we can see modern so-called educational system is meant to teach people how to become big cheaters. Or at least, to put forward, just like I'm reading, I forget, the Darwin Revolution, I think. Oh, Darwin Revisited by one devotee. And at least there's a knowledge filter in modern science where anything that fits into their equation, they accept, and anything that doesn't fit into their theory is simply forgotten about. So that makes life very convenient, because you do research and you just support everything with what, you just utilize anything that supports you, and you bury anything that doesn't support your theory. So this is not science, nor is it honesty. But then again, people are not interested in honesty, they're interested in economic development and for sense gratification. Religious principles have been lost, and therefore even the so-called scientists aren't really in the mode of goodness, they're just products of the modes of ignorance and passion also. Just a little bit more clever. In the forest there are many animals, some of them are very vicious, like the tigers, and some of them are more gentle, but you can't, like a deer. But you can't say that the deer is a very sophisticated animal. Although it may be very gentle, and it generally follows a very nice diet, it's a vegetarian, it doesn't get intoxicated. I doubt whether they have illicit sex. And there's no gambling. So therefore they're a model animal. But after all, they're an animal. So similarly in modern society, if people are so-called in the mode of goodness and they utilize their accumulated knowledge to defy God, to try to deny God, then their knowledge is misused. Instead, it should be utilized to show how there is intelligence. At least they have this intelligent design theory that there's intelligence behind the universe. Unless we admit that, then we have no intelligence. We don't have enough intelligence to see that when we eat food, it's digested, the important parts are assimilated, the unnecessary parts are eliminated. If we don't have the intelligence to see that, no scientist can duplicate that. They can't make a machine which eats food and assimilates the necessary ingredients so that the machine gets healthy. And it eliminates the unnecessary parts so the machine doesn't fall into doesn't become disease. So there are so many trillions and quadrillions of machines already existent, marvelously made, and therefore if we can't admit that there's some superior intelligence behind all this, that means that we're simply less intelligent. Because the people running the show may be even less intelligent than they are. And in this society of fools, it's folly to be wise, sometimes they say. In any case, intelligent people should try to show how there is intelligence behind the universe. That intelligence is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One is in the mode of passion, he's a manager or a statesman, then one just like Arjuna should try to fight for the cause of Krishna. And if one is in the mode of passion and ignorance, then one should try to utilize one's resources that one accumulates to spread the information about Krishna consciousness. And of course, we have no qualifications. At least we should find someone who has qualifications and try to assist them in the spreading of Krishna consciousness. In any case, Prabhupada writes that the most important thing is to hear and chant about Krishna. The whole idea is not simply to work hard and to convince everyone that Krishna is God, but it's to actually develop a taste for hearing and chanting about Krishna. So our hearing and chanting is actually done offenselessly so that Krishna is actually present in such glorification. That is the essence of everything we're doing. If Krishna is actually present, at least if we can experience Krishna's presence, then our activities are successful. But in the absence of such a tendency to hear and chant about Krishna, we should utilize whatever resources we have in Krishna's service, and then by trying to do so, then gradually our ability and our desire to hear and chant about Krishna will increase. We'll become more and more expert in hearing and chanting about Krishna. We'll become more and more surrendered to the holy name without having physically, externally, internally, feeling the dependency upon material energy for our welfare and ultimately our liberation, salvation. So the material world is based upon the conception that my shelter is this body, or my shelter is my emotions, or my shelter is my ideas, or my shelter is my false ego. But only when these things are utilized in service to Krishna, we actually see that Krishna is actually our shelter. As long as we remain attached to these so-called shelters, then it's very difficult to hear and chant about Krishna offenselessly. Because we're not really taking shelter of Krishna. We're not in the mood of taking shelter of Krishna. We're still attached to so many false shelters. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj says, Balasya neha sharanam pitro nishinha nartasya jagadam udanvito na majitao nao taptasya tatrivir dir ihanjashe stas tvadvido tanubritang from upekshatanam, that even if the parents may try to protect their child and they do the best they can, still the child may die. The medicine may be very good and the doctor may be expert, but still the patient may die. And the boat may be very solid, strong, but still it may sink when it's trying to cross the ocean. So if Krishna wills, one may be temporarily saved because no one is ultimately free from death here. But if Krishna doesn't will, no matter what our so-called shelter is, it'll prove to be a failure. Therefore, the ultimate conclusion is the only shelter is Krishna, and the only way of finding that shelter is to utilize whatever energies we have and try to dovetail them in the Sankirtan movement. If we do that, then gradually our taste for chanting about Krishna will improve. And as that does, then we'll be able to experience how Krishna actually is present in the holy name, and we'll feel the ecstasy and illumination eternally that comes from such a realization. Otherwise, there may be so many expert persons in so many different fields of activity, but without Krishna consciousness, all these so-called expertise are just nothing but decorations for dead bodies. Here in America, they're expert at decorating dead bodies. They spend a lot of money. Sometimes people are not very much appreciated during their life. Only after they leave their body do people actually appreciate them. And therefore, they make elaborate arrangements with the coffin and the funerals, etc. And you have to come back in your next lifetime to pay for all the funeral arrangements. They charge it for your future credit card in your next lifetime. And I heard that in America, sometimes they even have music being piped into the coffin. People are so much attached to some of their materialistic comforts and that sometimes they have rock music or country western music. You have to make your choice before you leave your body which kind of music you want to hear. Because people think, well, I'm going to be there for a long time. I might as well relax and listen to some music while I can. Because there's no you can't switch the channel. That's the only problem. You may get, after a few hundred years, you may get bored of rock music and want country western, but if it's still being piped in, you won't be able to change the channel. So that's unfortunate. In any case, it's a dead body, and it's not going to hear the music. And in another 100 years, it won't even be a dead body anymore. It'll be a pile of ashes or stool. But people are very much attached to this, thinking that, let my name go down in history, who cares about anything else? Let my false ego live on. The Prabhupada said they have a statue of Napoleon, so the statue is there, but the question is, who is Napoleon? He might be one of the pigeons coming to pass stool on the statue, for all we know. Therefore, to become a Napoleon or anyone else in this world is not a very big accomplishment, but to become surrendered to Krishna, that is an accomplishment. That will actually help us. Everything else is Shrama Evahi Kevalam. So I'll stop there. Any questions? Yes.
Maharaj, thank you for being here with us. My question is this. I hear, I even say the things are Krishna's mercy. How can I tell if things are Krishna's mercy or it's my own karma, something I'm creating?
Well, Krishna's mercy comes from following the instructions of Krishna's representatives. So if we're trying to follow Krishna's representatives, that is his mercy. And if we do that, then we do get Krishna's mercy in the form of detachment from material conceptions, greater appreciation of how everyone and everything is related to Krishna, and a greater feeling of love towards Krishna and everyone else. So that's Krishna's mercy. Yes.
Sometimes the circumstances, like we are doing our duties, and as you said, like Shrama Evahi Kevalam, and they become so hard to deal with. Like sometimes they really become Shrama Evahi Kevalam. Like Krishna sometimes go out, not sometimes, most of the times he goes out of picture, and though we are trying to be devotees, like in how to, in those circumstances, how to, as you said, like that, how to see Krishna. Like sometimes it's really hard.
Well, Krishna is there, so we have to use our intelligence. We have to see through the eyes of Scripture, and then seriously meditate what we have to do to improve our circumstances, so that what we're doing actually helps us become Krishna conscious. Madness is thinking by doing the same thing over and over again, we're going to get a different result. So we have to think how to change our activities such a way as that Krishna consciousness becomes more part of our existence. Not that we keep on doing the same thing again and again and again, and then we expect something different is going to happen. That's not possible. So we have to become thoughtful. And following the guidance of Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, we may have to make adjustments so that our Krishna consciousness becomes more productive. Yes.
Yesterday in class, you said something. My wife and daughter were listening to class on, I don't know, the Rupa Madhurya's thing. You said the material world is, you described the material world, you said nobody gets out of here alive. They like that.
Do you know anyone ever got out of here alive? It's a dangerous place. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, keep out, but no one seems to listen to him. Okay, thank you very much. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Or Premanande.